Part this time?
Our Father, Lord God, I just pray that as we worship this morning, Father, we are able just focus on your Spirit, Lord. And if some of us don't know what that means, Lord God, that means we're just trying to get quiet and we're just trying to listen to what you're telling us, Lord. You might be speaking to us and saying, you know what, you had a good week. Thanks for listening to me. Or you might be telling us, you know what, you probably could have listened better, but I love you so much, so we can do better next week. And some of you might be having some heavy things on your heart, and the Lord's saying, you guys, I know you can do better, and I want you to do better, and I love you, and I want you to try harder for your freedom. Not because I'm going to be mad at you, but because I love you, and I want you to be free. So, Father, I pray that we are just obedient. Father, I pray for freedom for all of us, Lord.
Yes, your faithfulness, O God.
us so much, Lord, that we don't have to walk on eggshells. You know, if you've ever been around those people that you feel like you're being judged constantly, you feel like you have to walk on eggshells, and no matter what you say, you're saying something wrong. Father, we can be so real with you, Lord God. We can say, I'm having a hard time. I'm not doing good. I'm stressed out. Lord, I just need your presence. Father, help us to understand that you are the closest, dearest friend that we have. I love my husband. He is awesome. But there's no relationship like I have with the Lord. So I pray, Father, that we all have that relationship, that we know we can just sit down and you can just be right next to us, Father. And it's so real. It's more real than even the things that we can touch and that we can see. Father, help us to have that relationship with you, Lord. Father, I know for so many years I've tried to do so many things in my own strength and by my hands, Lord, and it always fell apart. But when I can call to you and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to end, but I will trust you. Yes. Father, you created me. You love me. Father, even when horrible things happen, Father, I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm going to say, Lord, I don't understand. Father, but use this. What the enemy wanted to use for his good or for evil, Father, I pray, Lord, that we allow you to use it in your Don't let the enemy steal away, Father. You to guide us and to lead us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those being baptized today, Father. I thank you that they are making a statement that I'm going to trust you and I want to become a new creation, Father. And with becoming a new creation, Father, you don't expect us just to be perfect right away, Lord. God, you want to work on us in the inside. But, Father, I do pray, Lord, that those who are being baptized, Father, that they are going to want your way more than anything, Father, more than anything they've ever had before, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it is so evident in everything that they do, Lord God, that it changes their speech, it changes their thought, it changes the way they post things on Facebook, it changes how they speak with others and about being patient. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you remind them how much you love them and how much you have forgiven, Father, so that they are going to be quick to forgive and quick to love as well. And we pray, Father, that we stick with them as a body, as a family, Lord, just to encourage them and to love them. And Father, and we just pray that with all of us, Lord God, our walk gets deeper in you, Father, and that you just purify us even more, Lord. We give you this day, and we praise you for this day, Father. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
play along? Penny? Okay, Penny, are you here?
Justin, right there.
Hi, would you come up? Hey, folks. Okay, so I know we just had a baptism, but it's really super exciting, even though we just did one 2 weeks ago. What God is doing in people's hearts, and I know we just had one a little bit before that, but we're having another one today, and some more folks are getting baptized. That is an amazing thing, that God is doing works like that in people's hearts. That's not done of any person, or Amy, or Darren, or Josh, or Gary. That's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that changes lives. He's the only one that stirs hearts. He is the only one that changes hearts and attitudes and minds. Now, two of the folks are going to be getting baptized today. Where's little Jason? Is he here right now? Jason, would you turn around, please, son? And raise your hand. Come on, there he is. Now, Jason, it is super exciting that you have made this decision. And I talked to him in youth group night on Wednesday in the back. So I want to make sure that he knows what he's doing, that he's given his heart over to the Lord, that he understands what baptism's all about. Also because we've been working with him for a couple years or something. It's about time! Anyway, sorry. Thank you. You know, but he had me in tears. He just had me in tears of what God is starting to do in his life. And it's been great. And thank you for all the people who have poured in for so long. And I don't even know if Josh and Amanda Panda are here somewhere, but anyway, they're here somewhere. Yeah, maybe they're outside. But anyway, you know, just it's so wonderful just to see so many people pouring in. And then we also have another young man, or maybe a little bit older man, Stanley. So you guys, you know the comic book guy? No. So I love his shirt. If you guys don't see it, he got that from Nick. So we got another Real Men Love Jesus shirt, and God's doing an incredible work in his heart as well, and he is the whole family, and God's just bringing the whole family back to the Lord, and Stan is probably, I want to get rededicated my life to the Lord, and I want to go and get baptized. And so I see him up here today, God's been doing such a great work, I see him up here with the guitar, I'm like, what? I'm so excited, and I'm so proud of it, and it's awesome what God is doing in your life. And he has today with him Miss Minnie, which is mom. Is that correct?
Hi, Dave.
And and so they want to do a song, and I've heard is it like Tennessee Bluegrass? Well, I listened to your CD.
Oh, you did?
I did, yes ma'am. Sorry, somebody gave it to me. That's okay. You know, ma'am, we're just so thankful. If you want to come up and share on their baptism day, guys, we'll just be happy to listen. And so just be patient. And we just want to bless you guys in Jesus' name.
We haven't played this song in a while. I mean, I'm in my church. But we haven't did it in front of anybody.
Yeah. 20 years. It doesn't matter. You guys, we're just sit patiently and we love to listen.
We'll do two verses.
Life is like a mountain railway, ribbon in the hero's way. He must make a run success for from the cradle to the grave. What's for him? Thank you.
need maps to the baptism. Okay, I'm going to set them right up here on the keyboard, and you can grab one. It's out at the beach today, and so we just want to welcome you to have you come out there. Okay. Sorry, guys. Give me 1 second here to make this a little bit. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. But that was really exciting, and that was really awesome. And thank you so much for coming out here and blessing us with that. That was wonderful. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we've got a few things to go over this morning, so let's jump right into it. In Jesus' name. That was so cool. We do have some Panera bread loaves back there. You are welcome to take them free in Jesus' name. Bagel and bread. We don't want any left over, so feel free to grab some bags and take it home. And we'd be happy to have you take whatever you need free as a gift in Jesus' name. We also, we're not going to take up a big tithe and offering, but we take and receive tithes and offerings in the back in that little bird box as he provides for the birds of the air and for us. Also, Tom is not here because he's setting up with other folks out at the baptism. Anthony, are you at least here? Good. Okay. So anyway, for those of you who don't know what's been happening in some of these churches and recently, right, the 26 in Texas, you know, we're going to take a minute and we're going to pray for them too. But we're also looking for a little security team. Renee Shuttlebauer lives as a neighbor of right down the road from that church. She was on the roof working on the barn when she heard the gunshots. And, you know, so to be honest, she says it's deer season there. So they didn't think too much of it, although there was an awful lot of gunshots. And then she heard the sirens and she knew, according to the report, that something was terribly wrong. And what happened was a private citizen, thank God that there was a private citizen that was armed. And when he confronted him, I guess he, if I understood correctly, dropped the gun and the guy drove away and eventually committed suicide or something like that. Anyway, so Uncle Tom and Anthony would just like to put up just a little security team here together. And so if you are at all interested in that, or if you have a concealed carry or something like that, and you would like to join that little security team, please see Anthony. Latrell, would you just raise your hand for those who don't know you? Yeah, and also Uncle Tom will be cooking out at the baptism. We just want to make sure that everybody is protected. These are getting crazy, crazy times. So we're just going to pray for those families, for the pastor who lost his daughter, family of eight. We're just going to take 1 minute and pray for them. Father God, we just pray for those families right now, Lord, that have been affected by this evil. Lord, I'll just say that, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray for your comfort on that family, your provision for all of them, Lord God. And you know all that they need far beyond what we do. Lord, we pray for your protection over your people across America, Lord God, and across the globe, Lord, being home churches and private churches and big churches, all those things, Lord God. We just pray for your protection over them, Lord God. We know ultimately you want us to be wise as a serpent, Lord, and make these, you know, provisions and plans, but ultimately it's up to you, Lord God. So, Lord, will we just pray for protection? You say we have not because we ask not. So we're asking for it for us and this body and this school and this group of people and also your church worldwide. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Pastor.
Amen.
Pastor.
Yes.
Say something real quick.
Yes.
Just in note of that, too. I mean, whether you become want to be a part of the team or not, it really takes all of us as a body just be aware of our surroundings. Mm-hmm. Who's coming in, you know, in and going, and
yes.
You know, like you probably heard on TV, you know, I mean, let us know, let somebody know if you think something's unusual, better to point it out, you know, but it takes all of us, all of our eyes.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, you're not going to get a jacket either, sorry about that. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, the Holy Smoke Barbecue raised money for Solve Pregnancy Center. They raised, was it almost $2,500 over 2 days?
No, it's actually
$2,300, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you for everybody who helped with that last Sunday. Even though you missed church or whatever the Sunday before, whatever.
So we had our own little service out there.
That's awesome.
But beyond that, it gave us a chance to be his hands out there among an unchurched car show.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really fantastic. So praise the Lord for that. What else do we have? Just to let you know, and Jen, you're the responsible for this. There's a new movie coming out, The Star, the story behind the first Christmas. It's coming to theaters, I think, this Thursday. I think it actually says 17th, but it's the 16th. And so it's a Christian film. And so it's a cartoon. You guys are welcome to see that. It's in a few spots. We also have a marriage here, and this is next Saturday. Is that right? Did I get it right? Yes, good. Thank you. We're having a wonderful marriage. For those of you who don't know, Nick and Ashley are going to be married. And I asked their permission to share this. They've been taking like biblical counseling and for months now, and they've been here at this church for a little bit, and they just, after hearing the word, they realized that they weren't living the way that they should live. They weren't living in a way that honored the Lord with their private lives. And so they just said to themselves, you know what? We don't want to live this way anymore. We want to fully follow God. We want to honor the Lord. And so Nick's like getting baptized. I can't even believe what's coming out of your mouth is so amazing in the Lord. When I'm hearing you, when I'm listening to you talk from even months ago to now, it's like, you know, one sense, my heart overflows with joy, but another sense, I'm like, who are you guys? I love it! And so they wanted to invite this family to please don't feel any obligation. We know everybody's crazy busy around November, December, but we just wanted to invite you out here Saturday, November 18th at
4.
What time?
4.
4 o'clock. See? 4. 4 o'clock. I will be there. I will be here early. Yes. Yes, I will be here early.
Three.
Maybe even 2.
2 o'clock. 1 o'clock, Darren.
Yes. Okay, now you're wounded me now. Okay, so we're so excited. If you can't be here, it's okay. Would you just pray for them? Because God's doing a work, and I just want to see that continue. And I'm so excited for both of them, for the whole family, actually. Okay, we're not going to go through this just because of time issues. We're going to skip a lot of this stuff. Prayer, don't forget, Sunday mornings. I so almost made it. I'm so excited. It didn't work out. But prayer, Sunday mornings here. If you'd like to join us, around 9 or 9:30. Wednesday youth group with Josh and Amanda Panda. And you guys are back, at least. Josh, I see you back. And it's just seeing that, you know, Jason get baptized, you know. I just look at you guys and see how many weeks and weeks and months did you bring them to pick them up and try to kneel. And how many people just, you know what I mean? Yeah, for a few years. See, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for your faithful servanthood. You know, nobody's given you any fanfares or big woo-woo-woo, but God sees everything. And he used it, and he's bringing it to fruition. So be encouraged in Jesus' name. So anyway, youth group here Wednesday nights. Bam. How do you like it now? Thursday barbecue and Bible study. I think it's Mark's last night, and he's doing a mock trial, actually. We're going to have a judge, right? He did something really neat last week. He had everybody give up. Hi, Diane. It's so wonderful to see you. So he had everybody give up, get up, and come. He said, I want you to change your perspective and come to the front and look out this way. And so many people said, wow, it's a lot bigger when you come up here and see everybody. There's a lot more people. And he talked about a change in perspective and how we see things. And so he's going to do something a little different and have a mock trial. We're going to have a bailiff. We're going to have a judge. We're going to have an accuser. We're going to have... It's going to be very, very interesting. So we'll invite you out there for Thursday night barbecue Bible study, 6 to 8. We already showed you the school pictures, so I'm not going to go through all that again. So let me just quickly fast forward some of these wonderful kids. You saw them last week. Well, that's not my fault. The spiritual people were here. Wait, somebody's raising their hand. Okay, anyway, we just had famous birthday. This is some of the little kids at Shepherd's Heart Christian School. That's Miss Summers. I used to run a really big, a much bigger school, about 100 families. She was one of our teachers there. And so she's taking, this is just some of the STEM classes and stuff that they're building and learning how to engineering. This is the
preteens.
Thank you. The preteens. Our kids there.
They're two kids in the writer's room.
And then this was, I think, Famous Character Day. And then this was Punk Day. These are my kids for school dressing up for Punk Day. Again, this little joke was great because Isabel dressed up as Mom. This is exactly what she wears. And Mom dressed up as Mom. I love it. Okay. No. So anyway, okay, so you guys know to pray for those who just got baptized. Very exciting, very amazing things. Today, after church, again, the maps are up there. You know about it. If you can make it, that'd be great. We are in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. We got through a whole three verses, so if you could open your Bibles to Colossians, chapter 2. Christ is enough. Where I get my Bible. Chris will bring one to you. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and someone will bring one right to you. And as I'm turning there, since we just got through three verses, I think it was 8, 9, and 10. That's what we did. So, here's the microphone. Where's the little social
media?
Okay, Olivia, sorry. Would somebody mind reading like verses 8, 9, and 10 while I turn to Colossians chapter 2, 8, 9, 10? If you could just raise your hand. Somebody will read Colossians chapter 2, 8, 9, 10, or we can stand here awkwardly. It's up to you. Colossians chapter 2, 8, 9, 10. Is that mic on, George?
Yes. Just got to turn it on.
Chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10. This will be covered last week, real quickly.
Yeah.
Yes.
See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is in the head over every power and authority.
Great. So we talked about... we talked about cults and deceivers, how this is what they'll do. They'll always try to add to God's word. They'll subtract who Jesus is. They multiply the requirements for salvation, and they'll divide the body. That's why it's so important for us to know the word for ourselves. We talked about walking with Jesus, and you can't walk with God and stay where you're at the same time. We need to walk in his ways by faith. We talked about, it says here in that verse 8 that it says that see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. You know, we showed you those little Russian dolls. It's hollow. That is human wisdom. That's legalism. That's tradition. That's intellectualism and every other ism. It's empty. You keep going and going and going. It's deceptive. That people are going to be follow deceptive spirits and things taught by, it doesn't say it because I keep forgetting to do that, demons. That's what the Bible says. That's not my words. That's God's word. You know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. There's two paths. There's God's way. Philosophy just means the love of wisdom. Philosophia, it means the love of wisdom. But there's God's wisdom and his ways, and then there's man's wisdom and his ways. So you have to choose the right way, and that's God's way. There's an unspiritual way, all right? There's an earthly way, a worldly way, and that wisdom doesn't come from heaven, but it's unspiritual and demonic. And the wisdom of this world, even though it looks really amazing, cool, you know, it says it's foolishness in God's sight. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the truth. Even the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It would make no sense. Honestly, can I just be blunt, honest?
Yes.
I grew up in the church. But before I really gave my heart, became born again, and got saved, you know what? In all honesty, I thought you all were idiots. That's a harsh thing to say. I thought you were fools. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I'm the fool. Here I thought I was so awesome and so smart and so perceptive and so, now it's nothing but a fool. But there's something amazing that happens when God humbles you and you receive him as Lord and Savior. It changes everything, doesn't it? Changes your heart, your desires, your ways. That's to us who are being saved. It's the power of God. Mark Manley.
You know, if we recognize that and pay attention to that,
yes,
when we are dealing with people outside of these walls, and we realize that what we're talking about is foolishness to them, that gives us an opportunity to pray for that person about that very situation, because they're not ready at that point to receive the blessings of God. But if we pray for them about that, then the next person that comes up and talks with them, they might want to know more.
Yeah, some plant, some water, but God is the one that makes it grow. That's right. So anyway, you know, it says the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, you know. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, you decide, you know, counseling, you know, psychology, that just means, therapist, counseling, whatever. There's two different ways to counsel, you know, and things. I listened to a study last night, and a survey went around, and for example, you could pick any topic, like marriage. I told you last week that, you know, if you're go to marriage counseling, in 20 years, I've never ever heard of a secular counselor, if anybody spent any time in marriage counseling, they always ended up recommending divorce. Because why should you be married to somebody that you're not happy with? Because it's all about you. Well, the Bible says it's all about the Lord. You know, psychology is the study of the soul, right? You know, but there's a worldly way of looking at it, and then there's God's way of looking at it. It's different. God's word has to be the rule and authority in your life. You know, that's what we talked about. Not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the principles of this world, as we just read. There's a pattern for it. There's a principle. You know, don't conform. Be that guy. You know, when the world's going one direction, you go God's direction. No way. Don't conform to the pattern any longer, to the principles of it. You know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because honestly, 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we're children of God and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. It's going in a direction. You have to choose the right direction. His ways over the world's ways. Okay? You can get more information since we're just getting this, okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So be careful what you think. Put in the word of God. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. This is where we left off. In him you have been made complete. You've been given fullness in Christ. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. All right. So that's where we left off. Can you hit the lights just for a second there, Chris? Thank you, brother. All right. So now we are in verse 11. Okay, and again, remember the people in Colossae, people were trying to get them involved in mysticism, in Judaism, in legalism, and every other kind of ism, asceticism. And it says this, he says, don't worry about all that legalistic stuff. He's like, in him, in Jesus Christ, verse 11 says, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh or the sinful nature. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 11, God gave Abraham, who's going to be the father of his people, he told them, he instituted the rite of circumcision. It was a cutting off of the flesh to show that, in a personal area, honestly saying, that I'm different, that I'm of the Lord's. It's a cutting away of the flesh, right? But even in places like in Deuteronomy 10:16, you know, God says, I want your heart. I just don't want you to be circumcised in the flesh only. I want you to circumcise your heart. And that's where God's concerned with. In Romans, it says this, you know, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit, not by the law or by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Okay. And that's what he says in the rest of verse 11. Not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. In other words, I'm turning away, I'm cutting off that sinful nature, that fleshly nature, getting rid of it, and I'm following Christ. I've got a new nature. I'm a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. That's awesome. Verse 12 says this, says, having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. When we baptize people, we're going to take them, and it just means to immerse. We don't want to just sprinkle on somebody's head. We want to dunk them. We want to get them totally under the water. And it's almost like this. When we put them under the water, we have somebody on either side, and usually somebody behind, because we want them totally under the water. Almost like a, when you're buried. You know what I mean? They put that dirt, you're under. You're identifying with him and his death. You know? And then you're rising again into new life. And you're saying, man, I want to live a new way, a new direction. I want to live for you. I want you to fill me with yourself, Lord, and I want to live for you. Will you teach me your ways? Will you grant me that humble heart? I want to follow you. That's what I want to do. And that's kind of what that illustration of baptism is. It's that cutting away of the flesh, like with circumcision, or that dying to yourself and rising to Christ. It goes on to say, in verse 13, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. I love that. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. And the verse that comes to mind when I hear that, you know, is this one right here. Romans chapter 8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And we were still in our sinful nature. I remember a time, like I said, I talked people out of believing in the Lord before I got saved. Isn't that pretty terrible? And it says here that I'm dead in Christ. Before you give your life to Jesus and become born again, you're like a dead man walking. You know, everybody's like all... Every seems like every new film coming out is a zombie movie, right? Yeah. What was that dumb one we saw?
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh my goodness, yes, okay. Pride and Prejudice, right? It's like, isn't that a totally girly movie that my wife makes us watch all the time?
Yeah.
Don't
make me watch it.
Whatever.
Stay so still.
I'm doing that because I love you. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Now they got Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, okay? And they're just the undead. Everybody's like fascinated with it, right? But you know what? To be honest, if you are not born again, here's what you are. You're going about your life. You're doing your thing. You're a zombie, really. You're a dead man walking. You're not a sick person who needs a doctor. You are a dead person who needs to be risen from the dead and saved. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? You're dead in your sins. But the good news is, Christ has given us a way. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. And whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's amazing. Now, some of you are saying, oh, Pastor Darren, though, you know, you don't understand. I'm such a mess. You don't understand my life, right? Because when you become a Christian, right, you realize not... Some people knew they were sinners and really bad, you know, and some of us didn't. I was on the didn't side. I thought I was amazing. Honestly. I know, hard to figure, right? I thought I was fantastic, right? I went to the other side. But the Lord had to show me, oh my goodness, you really are. You got through all that pride.
I remember that time.
I'm a mess. And some of you feel I'm too much of a mess to ever... But that's not true. Listen, God can turn any mess into a message. As you renew your mind with the Word of God, as you obey His Word, not because you have to, that's religion, because I get to, right? He turns this mess into a message. They see Christ in me. If you knew me before I was saved, you would believe. If you see my wife.
That's true.
If you heard my wife. Oh, that's another story. Anyway.
No pastor for you.
Oh, yeah. I got hot dogs at the baptism. I'm good. Anyway. But he can turn any mess into a message. So don't even think you're too far gone. Because it's just not true. Some of us thought that same thing. Isn't it true? Listen, folks, the next thing it says in that same verse, and I love this verse, okay? love this verse. In this verse, it says, okay, you were dead in your sins. You can go through that. In the uncircumcision, your simple nature, God made you alive in Christ, and he forgave all of our sins. Now, this is a cool word. In Greek, that word all is pass. And you know what it means? All. It's not fancy. That's not tricky. It literally means every, any, the whole. See, what a difference one word makes. Listen, folks, Jesus, God's not saying to you, which would be still amazing to me, that I've forgiven some of your sins. Right? He's not even saying that I'm forgiven most of your sins, which would be amazing. He's saying, I'm covering all of your sins. Oh my God. Don't yell at me for that. I mean, oh my God. Past, present, and future. All. What a difference a word makes. Not some, not most, all of my sins. Everything. Now, that doesn't mean that you should have the attitude, well, God's forgiven all my sins so I can live all my way however I want. God, you know what God says about that? The Bible says, oh, God forbid you should have that attitude. You should be like, oh, my God, thank you. You've forgiven all my sins. What can I do to live my rest of my life for you? I can never repay this debt. You're amazing. Listen, what a difference. Think about that. Let it permeate all your sins. That means not just the past, the present, the future. All. What a difference one word can really make in your life. How much freedom is that? Can you wrap your mind around that? You guys might know this date, June 18th, 1850. It was a super famous day in history. It was the day that Napoleon was set to take over the world. You see, Napoleon had just left the Isle of Elba, where he was rebuilding his army while he was in exile. And he was sailing back to the mainland with Europe with 75,000 soldiers, and including the Old Guard, which were the finest troops in the entire world. And although the Duke of Wellington was the commander-in-chief of the British forces, he offered to do his best to stop Napoleon, but it seemed like a hopeless cause. He gathered all the troops they could muster, right? And they didn't even have 75,000 troops left. They had about 67,000 troops to meet Napoleon at Waterloo. And if Napoleon was victorious, there would have been no stopping him. And he would have drove his way all through Europe and then to England, right? And changed life forever. And so the people, as Wellington went out to meet Napoleon, because if he was victorious, then that would be it for them. So the people waited for hours as the battle raged. And what they did is, since they were so eager for news, they positioned a ship in the English Channel. They didn't have, you know, emails or cell phones. Yeah. And so they positioned a ship in the English Channel that would signal the outcome of the contest. And a watchman stood stationed in towers. So them, ship, right, the towers, and the rest of England, okay, to find out what would happen. And so finally, and this was stationed on the shores of Dover, the tower. So finally, before it came enshrouded in fog, the signal ship started signaling the message to the towers, you know, one at a time, you know, one letter at a time. You know, Wellington defeated. And although the hearts of the watchmen sank, they relayed the word quickly to the waiting messengers in England. And the word spread like wildfire throughout England that Wellington had been defeated. And hopelessness and despair set in with the British people because they knew it was just a matter of time before they came and took over all of England. And so, as the fog lifted, the ship fired a cannon just to get the attention of those on the shore of the tower at Dover. And then the final message was relayed. The word was Napoleon. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. Wellington defeated Napoleon. difference one word makes? Hopelessness and defeat versus rejoicing in victory. All of your sins. All of them. That means the one that you're going to make tomorrow with your bad attitude. And your stinking thinking. Because I know me. That means your thought life. You're getting it under control. That means the bad choice that you made. That means the poopy attitude that you had. That means the things that you said that you shouldn't have. You understand? Everything. Now, I don't know about you, but that's amazing to me. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." What a difference a word makes. Gary, are you raising your hand?
Yeah, well, it also means that when the enemy tells
you... Hold on one second. I just want to want to...
It also means that when the enemy tells you that you're really messed up this time and the Lord doesn't want to have anything to do with you, and that he's lying.
Bam!
That's the biggest fall. And it means that instead of running away from him, we need to run into his arms.
Yes. The enemy always wants to separate you and divide you. Separate you from Jesus, from his word, from his Holy Spirit, from the body. That's his whole main goal. God wants to bring you together. It says this. I love this. Okay, you ready? It says after all, in verse 14 now, we're in verse 14. It says that having canceled the written code with all its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to a cross. Listen, all that stuff, all the law, all the legalism, the law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It shows us that we can't be good enough. And that's why we need a Savior. That's Jesus. He canceled it. And I love what this Greek word means. Some of your translations, mine says canceled, right? Some of your translations might say blotted out. That's probably a better translation. King James says that one. It also, some of your translations might say wiped away. I like that even better. Almost like a whiteboard. Have you ever written on a whiteboard? You know what I'm saying? You could have tons of stuff. We have one at school, and then you take one of those dry erase boards. It's gone, right? That's what it means. He's canceled it. Oh, even one better. If you're, I don't know if you're translating. It literally means, if you go in the Greek, exhalapho, and it basically means washed completely. Washed completely. So that's a cool thing. And when I think of that, it takes me back to this. This is Wartburg Castle. I had the pleasure of visiting there. I spent some time in Austria, Germany. Okay, and this is where Martin Luther stayed. I don't know if you can see a little cross way up on the top of that tower. Way up there. The Wartburg Castle is like in the middle of Germany. And he'd been taken there for his safety after attacks by the Catholic Church. And it was during this period that Martin Luther translated the New Testament into the common language, German, from Greek to German, and so that the common people could know what the Word of God said for themselves, right? All right? And there's a room up there called the Martin Luther Room, and this is where he did the translating, okay? Right? So when it says it, that the Lord completely washed this away, you can see this over here. This is where this whole wall was splattered with ink. And as he was translating the New Testament, the story goes that, you know, a demon or Satan came to him and started accusing him because God was using him in such a mighty way that it was by grace through faith. Right? And so Satan started accusing him, and he said, "You know what? You're lustful. You got anger issues. You're lazy." And he just went down the list over and over and over and over. And Martin Luther was writing it all down. What else? And he wrote down it, and it kept going and going and going. He said, "Is that all?" "No, that's not all." And he kept writing, and he was writing. And so the list got so long. And finally Martin Luther said, "You know, as he's writing this list in such a long time, and everything, accusing, 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 accusing. He finally, he said, "Is that all?" And he said, "Yeah, that's all." And Martin Luther at the bottom did something really awesome. You can't see it now because people, when you go to visit, unfortunately, they took the plaster off the wall. They wanted a piece of it for themselves. Over time, but this is, and what he did was he wrote at the bottom of this document, washed by the blood of the Lamb. And he took the inkwell, because it was, you know, it was one of those little things, and he threw it at the demon, and it splattered up against the wall, and washed in the blood of Jesus. See, that's what you are, washed in the blood of Jesus. That's what I am, washed in the blood of Jesus. As those accusations come, they're completely gone. Does that make sense? Wiped away, blotted out, washed. Natalie.
When you mentioned about the whiteboard, I kind of had an image. You know, after a while when you're using a whiteboard, it gets yucky and it gets a residue and you keep washing it. But when he cleans us and he erases it, it's brand new every time. Yes. There's no residue. There's none of your sin that's left behind, you know, or any of that. It's washed brand new, clean.
That's
every time.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I like that definition the best, washed. Yes, Hezekiah Thunder.
Or one more thing. It's like,
yeah, hold on 1 second. We're going to run it to you. Olivia's blinding speed. Awesome. Thanks.
Like, when we try to wash away the things that we've done by ourselves, it's kind of like when you take one of those really old erasers and try to go on it, and it just smears all over the thing.
Yes.
But when Jesus does it, it's almost like when you, like you said, when you take the spray, it is all, you know, brand new. So.
That's right. Yes. Awesome. Yes, Rebecca.
I was envisioning when he had sprayed it, how it like dissolves by itself. It's like,
yes, yes, amen. You know, and here's the thing, you know, in him, that's Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:8, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, washed away. Isn't that awesome? Everything, Jim, is amazing and wonderful to see you back. Just not the same if you're not in the chair. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Lights! He goes on to say, in verse 15, and then he disarmed, and I would underline that disarmed, the powers and authorities, and he made a public spectacle, I'd underline that too, of them, triumphing them. I'd really underline that. If you do that kind of thing, a triumphing over them at the cross. It's almost like that Satan, his demons, threw everything against Jesus to stop him from going to the cross because he knew that's where it was all coming down to. Right? They probably thought as he was going to the cross, woohoo, we're triumphing. All the demons of hell are probably like, woohoo, we did it. Not knowing that he was doing it for us by going to that cross. And that word triumphing is kind of a cool word. In the Greek, it's triumbuo, and it means a loud, conquering, victorious procession. Okay? And it literally is a picture of, for us, of a, back in Rome, when a general, right, would come in, they just defeated the enemy, what they would do is they would have this massive parade, and the general would ride in, usually in purple or in all his garb, you know, and he'd have a chariot with four horses, usually. I don't know how many I got in this one. But and then when he would parade, all of his troops would come in, right? It was a victorious, huge celebration. It would last an entire day as they're going through, right? And then what they would do is they would parade all the treasure behind them. But what they would also do is they would take the enemy, and they would put them all in cages, disarm them, just like it says in the scripture, right? Just like what he did with those spiritual forces of evil, disarm them. In fact, it means to put off in Greek, take, strip them. So many of those Roman soldiers would be, unfortunately for them, in prison, naked. They wouldn't have their weapons, they wouldn't have their armor, they were naked. And they were being made a spectacle of. And that's what it says in that verse. That's the picture. Jesus, when he did that for you, the enemy thought, I'm winning right now. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. I won. I'm making a spectacle of the enemy. Right? With the victory at the cross. I'm disarming him completely. You have power in the name of Jesus Christ. And then this last bit here. It says, therefore, since all this stuff, right? Therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat, by what you drink, or in regard to a new religious festival or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. Listen, guys, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat, okay? You guys should know this, but sometimes there's always new folks here, okay? When it's talking about false teachers in their day and also in our day, it says, hey, it was talking in 1 Timothy. It says, they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good. So if you want to eat a ham sandwich, feel free to eat a ham sandwich. If you want to eat lobster, eat lobster. Want to have some ice cream? Not the healthiest for you, but you can do it. But here's the thing. No food. Religious people always think a certain kind of food, oh, don't eat meat on this day, or, oh, if you eat that, well, then you're really sinful. You can't eat crawfish. You know, whatever. Right. You know, 1 Corinthians 8:9, you laugh. But if you come from a religious environment, like, for example, Seventh-day Adventists, you can't eat a lot of stuff. You have to be really Christian, really love the Lord. You have to follow a Messianic Jew. You got to do this thing just so. Listen, food does not bring us near to God. We're no worse if we do not eat it, and we're no better if we do. Just be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block for you. So don't let anyone judge you by what you eat. Feel free to give thanks to the Lord and chow down. Amen? By what? For eating, too. Yes.
We got to make sure we don't judge them and we're respectful as well.
Absolutely.
Like, don't be a stumbling block in
there. Absolutely. If they don't want to eat, you know, if they don't want to eat a lobster, you know what? Don't want to eat a lobster. Whatever. It's the Lord. You don't need to try to talk about it. I mean, if they start yelling at you, you can just say, here's what the Bible says. But you don't need to make them feel bad. You know what I mean? And it says, do not, you know, don't let anyone judge you about what you drink. Now, here's the deal, guys. I wish the Bible said, don't drink alcohol. It doesn't. Okay? But it does say in Proverbs 21, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by that is not wise. It does say in Ephesians 5:18, and I love the new, it says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? That's what the Bible says. So don't let anyone judge you by what you drink. If you want to have a glass of wine, that's between you and the Lord. Just make sure. You don't get razzly buzzed. I'm not drunk. No, come on, please. You know what you are. Yes, Elijah.
I think it's also the verse, you know, do not be drunk with wine. I think wine is just one of them. I think the Lord's saying not to get addicted and all world.
Absolutely. That is exactly right. Yes. If you didn't hear that, again, it doesn't just mean wine. It would be, you know, pot, whatever is your thing. Yes. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says, you know, don't let someone judge you on a Sabbath day, a religious festival. A church around here has a Feast of Tabernacles. Nate plays there every year. And it's a great thing. I think it's a Christian retreat. It's a neat thing. But, you know, some are like, you don't celebrate the religious festival. Look, don't let anyone judge you about that. Those things are things of the past. If you want to celebrate it, wonderful. I've celebrated the Passover Seder. Wonderful. I had a great time. But don't tell me I have to do these things. I do not. I am free in Christ. So are you if you're a born-again Christian. And don't let anyone judge you on a Sabbath day. Well, if you're really a believer, you would have it on a Sunday. I'd be going to hell. Just take them to the Word of God. Don't let anyone judge you. These are a shadow of things to come. Right? You know what a shadow is? I love this picture. Because, you know, when the light is shining behind someone, right? When the sun... When the sun is shining behind some, right? The shadow goes ahead of you. Just like this. Now, I don't know exactly if I just saw that shadow coming. I could get a pretty good picture of what the person looked like. Now, I wouldn't know the details. I wouldn't know his shorts. He's got different colors, the green, the kind of flip-flops. I mean, there's a lot of things I wouldn't know, but there's a lot of things I would. All those things, those festivals, those were a shadow of things to come, right? But the reality of it is found in Jesus Christ. Okay? I love this Hebrews 10:1 verse. See, I love, this is the Wailing Wall, by the way, because you don't know. It says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. Because those sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, for our sins. But they were never able to provide the perfect cleansing, the washing, for those who came to worship. Jesus is that perfect washing. He is the fulfillment of all those things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Everybody get it? Yes, hand up.
It's been eating on me.
Either way, you're free to eat whatever you want.
It's been eating on me. You said, ultimate sacrifice. He went to, he died for us. He grabbed the keys from hell and said, hey, I got the keys now. I have the power. So he died for us. Went there, grabbed his keys, said, hey,
he's got,
whoever wants to follow me, I have the keys.
He's disarmed those powers and authorities, is what it says in Colossians. He's taken away any power that they have. Any ultimate power, anyway. Okay, I'm going to say this last verse, these last verses, I'm just going to wrap them up together. And we'll finish. He says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility, and you know what, that's all the false teachers are always trying, don't let anyone who delights in false humilities or the worship of angels disqualify you or cheat you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He's lost connection with the head from the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, and grows as God causes it to grow. I just want to say one thing, you know, the worship of angels and whatever, and there was a time when people were doing that more. You know, two things. One, when you ever see an angel in the Bible, it's not a little cute thing with a little dot, little baby, a little arrow or something. When people saw angels in the Bible, they were terrified. They had, and the angel would have to say, do not be afraid. But just because they're amazing and powerful, you don't worship an angel. You don't need that mediator, okay? There is one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus alone.
Amen.
Listen, in Revelation 19:10, as John is there, he's writing all this stuff down, right? Apostle John, they're saying, you know, the whole multitudes are saying, glory be to the Lamb, praise and honor and glory to him, and he's blown away, right? And the angel says, I want you to write this down. Blessed are they that are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. And he's writing it down. And he's just so amazed by this angel, right? I'm not saying that's what he looks like. But he falls down, it says in Revelation 19, at this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said, don't do that. Listen to what the angel says. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brother and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. You want to worship somebody? You worship the Lord. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. And then it goes on to say, I'll finish with this last few verses in Colossians 2:20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles or patterns of this world, why as though you still belong to it? Do you submit to its rules? Oh, don't handle this. Do not taste that. Do not touch this. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations, if you have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship and false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You've ever seen a religious person, right? It does have an appearance of, wow, that must be really holy. You know, know, they don't eat meat every Friday, or they go to, they have to pray three times a day, five times. That's how it looks, right? Basically, Paul's just saying any religious systems, intellectualism, mysticism, asceticism, legalism, they're all traps by the enemy to rob you of a simple relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ is enough. His heart, His word, and His spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. And if you want to come to the baptism, we're going to have some food out there. Absolutely, well, we would love to have you come out there. We're going to have a time where if anybody has anything to say, a word of encouragement for these people getting baptized, or perhaps a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge. Anybody wants to pray over them, we open it up to whatever the Lord has. And we're going to get baptism after we have lunch. Okay, so let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, we say thank you for your Son Jesus. Thank you that we are made complete in Him, Lord. Thank you that He has triumphed over anything that the enemy has thrown at us, Lord God. Over any demonic entity, Lord. We have power in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. That all our sins are forgiven, Lord God. That we are washed by your blood. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name that you would put into our hearts and minds some of these things that we learned today from your word, so that no man will judge us by religious ceremonies or Sabbath days, and we won't be so judgmental with those religious things with others. Lord, I pray for those people who are getting baptized today, even now, that you would bless them and anoint them with whatever gift that you would have them to have, Lord God. Lord, we pray even now for the baptism that you would make everything ready. And we thank you for this time together as a body. We love you and praise you and thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. We'll see you this week or in the next.
He mentioned Sabbath. Why not make sure you get this picture?